I am so excited about this next topic and my next chat. It's all about autonomous vehicles and the future of driving, the future of transport, the future of our road networks. What does it all mean? Where's it at? But of course, importantly, where is it all going? It's a great pleasure to have Dr. Shantanu Chakraborty. He's on the line in Sydney. He's from the University of New South Wales School of Civil and Environmental Engineering. He's the lead author on a very, very interesting, very, very future-looking report. It was published in the Journal of Transportation Research under Emerging Technologies. Dr. Chakraborty, tell us first of all about the report. Why was it necessary and what were some of the key findings?
In very near future, we are not really expecting to see 100% automation or like driverless cars on the road. So the challenge is, how do we model the transition when we have a transport network where there are few automation or autonomous vehicles, and also there are quite a few like larger number of manual drivers? How do we model a mixed vehicular interactions in a network like this? So the ideas which we were coming up with at that point of time was how to ease the entry of these autonomous vehicles in transport networks. And we thought maybe there could be dedicated lanes which will facilitate the movement of these vehicles in the network. And it's not something very new. We are not really like reinventing the wheel here. We have bus lanes already, right? If we have a similar concept, and we have these dedicated lanes, not everywhere, but only a few segments which actually benefits the entire system. And that is where this research actually
comes from. You say here that traffic congestion costs the economy billions of dollars every year in all of the extra time that we all spend commuting. And there's a great example here. You go, just say you're sitting in traffic and the traffic light turns green. The driver doesn't instantaneously take off that very second. There's usually a response time before we press on the pedal and the car moves forward. And then, of course, the driver behind you reacts and so forth and so on. And by this time, by this stage, there's, of course, some time has passed. So if you think about that's the scenario at the moment, all of those almost microsecond delays, they, of course, all add up as we're driving. Tell us about the difference when we will see more autonomous vehicles on the road in that scenario.
It's very interesting. If we look at the scenario two, when we have the vehicles which has some kind of connectivity among them, some kind of automation features, so in that case, you can imagine that the whole fleet of vehicles, it actually maintains same gap in terms of time headway and space headway, and the entire fleet of vehicle, it moves like, you can say, like a train maybe, and it moves through the network with very less time spent waiting at the signal, and the signal it's much more efficient way of transport flow, especially through an intersection. So that's the kind of benefit these vehicles with these automation features can bring into the network.
Dr. Chakraborty, the big question, of course, which I'm sure you get asked all the time, is how far in the future are we talking here?
So, if I say a decade, I mean, that's still like a negotiable number. And that is where our research, which we did in this, dedicated lanes, can actually negotiate that number. One of the issues at the moment that we are facing is acceptability from the general commuters to these automation features. They're struggling to this automation, this industry actually struggling to get the trust from the commuters that these automation features can actually help them, and they are much more safer and much more efficient. So safety concerns is a big question.
Because it's interesting, isn't it? You'll see the occasional video shared on social media of it might be a Tesla, for example. It's exploded, or it's on fire, or it's been in a bad crash. And as you say, compared to general motorists, compared to us driving, the safety level is actually much higher. But you're right, it's that getting over that fear, that hump of almost these robotic autonomous vehicles, isn't it? It's a big challenge.
Exactly. And I mean, definitely, whatever has happened during those like in those driverless cars, that's really unfortunate. But we don't really focus on the crashes that's happening in the network due to human errors.
Yes.
We don't really focus because we just take it for, okay, this is like an accident, that's all. So the number is much more like significantly larger when the crashes which happens in transport network due to human errors. So that's the kind of the main idea was to have to negotiate this the years that will take for this vehicle with automation into the market with gaining some acceptability from the commuters and where these dedicated lanes these where you can kind of divide these two stream of vehicles in the network that might, you know, make them understand, okay, these vehicles are actually good for the system. Our system is performing much more efficient because the performance metric that we have used in this study is system optimal performance. It's a total system travel time of all the vehicles in the network, not just the autonomous vehicles, not just the manual vehicles, but for everyone.
Because
So it's beneficial for everyone.
it's taking those commuters off the normal lanes, if you like. So it's freeing up some of those roads if there was that dedicated lane for autonomous vehicles. There you go.
So it's just making sure that people slowly get used to these automation features and then they actually really see the benefits.
And as you said, we can give or take a few years here or there, but in, let's just pick a decade as a time frame that people can get their heads around. Would you expect that these, in certain areas, in certain cities, these autonomous lanes, if you like we've got bus lanes in most cities now, would you expect that to be in place within a decade?
Yeah, so that's the kind of projection at the moment. But as you also are aware, there are so many different factors that are involved in this whole process, which is actually will decide that when these vehicles can accepted by the public. And our whole research is about around that. Gaining that acceptance from the commuters.
In terms of the research going on behind the scenes into this space, I mean, is it going ahead in leaps and bounds? And we'll be surprised almost at the progress once it's made public?
I would say we can like maybe in very short time we will be seeing that much more automated features are actually getting added to the vehicles that are kind of rolling out into the network. We already see this lane control where if your vehicles actually, you know, comes back to lane or indicates you whenever you are moving out of the lane. Isn't that like already very cool
Well,
to start
it's
with?
so funny you mentioned that. I'm desperate for a new car. My poor old bomb car is literally falling apart. So I test drove a car. I think it was a Haval. And it's got that lane assist thing, but it does also have the distance. So you can set almost a cruise control setting where it not only brings you back into the lane, but it sets a distance from the car in front. And I was test driving with the guy from the car dealership, and he said, "Press this button, turn this function on." And we came to a roundabout, and there was a car in front of me driving. And with this setting on, the car that I was in actually slows down and keeps a distance in front of that car and then follows it as it went through the. It was quite freaky. It was the first time that I'd used it. But you are right, this technology is already creeping in to cars that are already on the market.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and we just have to, you know, take out that fear. Like whenever we are driving a car or we're doing something, even anything in our life, and when we see that we are not in control, sometimes we freak out that maybe something else is taking over. There's always some kind of a fear we always have. But if the machine can do it, you know, in a much more efficient, why not giving it a chance to prove itself, you know?
Very, very interesting and very exciting and slightly scary, as you say, but fascinating research. Dr. Shantanu Chakraborty from the University of New South Wales School of Civil and Environmental Engineering, thanks for your time on the King Review today.
Thanks, Gavin. Yeah, nice to talk to you. Thank you.